307. Roger and Derek riding along with you on the way home this afternoon. I posted on Jim McKinney's Facebook page that this is the quintessential Jim McKinney day. It is fall, it's windy, and it's raining. And that is, in fact, the favorite day of Jim McKinney. But some of his friends disagreed with that. I don't understand why. Welcome to the afternoon show, and we got a busy afternoon here in just a minute. We're going to talk with Aaron Knott from Enroll America. We're going to find at 3:45, we're going to find out about a whole bunch of new jobs coming to Kalamazoo with a new facility out in the Midlink Park, and that will be exciting. At 4:10, we're going to talk to Josh Israel. Josh is a columnist who covered the Virginia election last night, their gubernatorial election. And I see some parallels between Virginia and Michigan, where we generally have Republican legislature and governor in Michigan, and yet generally vote Democratic for president. And I want to see from him, who has his arms around that state, if we can learn anything from there and apply it to our state. And then finally, in the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to talk with CBS News political consultant Dottie Lynch, and we're going to talk about things we could learn from the rest of last evening's election results. All that coming up, but right now we're going to be joined by, oh, we do have a call. John Freeman is joining us as well. Aaron Knott and John Freeman. John, how are you?
I'm doing great, Roger. Thank you so much for having me on your program.
Oh, sure. Could you introduce yourself at the get-go here?
Sure. My name is John Freeman. I'm the Michigan State Director of an organization called Know Your Care, which is an organization which is dedicated to educating people in Michigan about the Affordable Care Act, you know, the new federal health care reform law.
Okay. I appreciate that. And also with us is Erin Knott, and she is from Enroll America. And tell us a little about Enroll America before we get rolling here.
Sure. Enroll America is a nonprofit organization that's primary purpose is to educate and engage consumers about the marketplace that has opened up. And we're trying to drive people out to take a look at what their health insurance options are and to make sure that they enroll in plans that not only meet their needs but their family's budget.
Great. Well, folks, how is it going? We don't have any substantial numbers, but yesterday I read a news report of the system having the capacity to handle 17,000 enrollments an hour. What's your experience, even if we don't know what the bottom line looks like?
I'm going to jump in here, John. My experience is yes, that news report came out yesterday, and that's good news. Each and every day, the website is having improvements made to it. And, you know, the mood amongst consumers when I'm out in the field is that people are still excited. They are taking the time to shop the plans, to learn more information about the plans. And there's been great enthusiasm when people are realizing that they actually do qualify for financial assistance. And of the 1.2 million Michiganders that currently do not have insurance, you know, 6 in 10 of them are going to be able to fund coverage for less than $100. And that's really good news.
Yeah, Aaron is absolutely right, Roger. The law is going to be sweeping in nature, and it's going to bring about a complete change for the 1.2 million people in Michigan without health insurance. The one other thing that people should understand about www.healthcare.gov, the website, to purchase insurance is that even if there are problems right now, which are rapidly being cleaned up, that people can still sign up for insurance over the phone or through the mail. There is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week toll-free phone number that people can call and that people can sign up for insurance over the phone line. So there are other options available for people. And I would just want to add one final comment is that one of the reasons why the websites had such problems is that there's a tremendous surge of demand to try and buy the insurance that's now being made available on the exchange.
Mm-hmm.
We have, you know, as Aaron said, 1.2 million people in Michigan without insurance. And for the first time, we have quality, affordable insurance, and people are voting, so to speak, with their feet. So it doesn't surprise me that there have been issues. But the key is that the issues are being solved. And by the end of November, Kathy Sebelius has said that the problems will be fixed.
And as you point out, we are making progress in achieving that goal by the end of the month. Let's talk for a second about the news of all the cancellation letters that have been sent out. First, there seems to be some confusion on the part of people who receive those letters because these are insurance companies who are trying to sell you insurance. When you hear about the your insurance being canceled and there's nothing like it to replace it out there, is it people just don't understand the resources that they have to shop for additional insurance coverage?
Well, what these letters are, no one's losing their coverage. No one's receiving a cancellation letter. These letters are being sent out to a very small percentage of consumers that currently have insurance through the individual market. And these letters are simply informing them that their plans are changing, and specifically their plans are changing to include new benefits, because under the Affordable Care Act, there are 10 essential benefits that all insurance plans have to provide: doctor's visits, prescription drug coverage, mental health services, etc. So for these people that have been on the individual market, they're going to benefit the most from the Affordable Care Act because they're going to be able to get better insurance. And so we've been encouraging them, you can purchase new insurance through the individual market, you can go to the Michigan marketplace and look for insurance there, where those plans are going to be the most competitive, and they might also qualify for financial assistance. We know that about half of consumers right now on the individual market will qualify for financial assistance. So we've been telling everybody to just, you know, pause. No one's losing their plans. No one's losing coverage. But another point I'd like to make is, you know, in the individual market, 1 out of 5 people that have previously applied for insurance through that marketplace, you know, they were denied because they had a pre-existing condition.
Mm-hmm.
Or later on, they were paying their premiums and they had coverage, but then when they got sick, the insurance companies were able to go back through that application and see that somebody missed, you know, dotting an I or crossing a T, and then they dropped their coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And so through all of these changes, people won't lose coverage any longer because they have a pre-existing condition. They're not going to be denied coverage, and they're going to have better insurance.
And the only thing, Roger, that I would like to add is that these insurance companies are sending these letters. The policies that they had been providing these folks were established prior to the Affordable Care Act taking place. Those plans are, in fact, grandfathered in. So those insurance companies can continue to provide that insurance that those folks had that they signed up for prior to 2010. It's the insurance company's decision in those few cases that Aaron mentioned, to discontinue that insurance. It's not because the Obama administration, it's that the insurance company themselves have determined that they wish to stop offering that policy. So if there's any anger out there at receiving the letter, it should not be directed at President Obama or Kathy Sebelius. It should be directed to the very insurance company that they purchased the insurance from.
Mm-hmm. One of the concerns I have is with all the confusion about starting up a huge new system here, is that some unscrupulous insurance companies may try to take advantage of that confusion on the part of their customers. Is there any deliberate using of the confusion taking place, or are insurance companies doing the best they can, and this kind of stuff we're encountering is just a part of getting this new system up and running?
You know, I couldn't speak to whether or not that practice is going on, because again, my staff and volunteers, we're out in communities across the state, and we're linking people either to the website directly or to assisters that are available. As an example, here in Kalamazoo, the Family Health Center and CARES and Planned Parenthood, they are all certified assisters that can sit down and walk people through the process. You know, they don't have a bias. They're not there with, I want to sell you this plan or that plan. They're just in our community, willing and able to help people if they have questions.
You use the term assisters. Is that the same as the navigators that are available, or is there a subtle difference there?
There is a subtle difference. You know, we have navigators. Again, CARES here in Kalamazoo is a navigator.
Okay.
Planned Parenthood and the Family Health Center are what's called a community application assister. And so there's a little bit of a difference, but bottom line is all of these groups are here in our community with the primary purpose of linking people to the best plan possible for their family.
And they have no axe to grind. They don't make a profit at this. They're not trying to sell anything. They're just trying to help individuals make reasonable decisions.
That's correct, Roger. They're there because their mission, their organizational mission, is to help people, and they believe the same thing that Enroll America and Know Your Care believes in, is that everybody deserves access to quality, affordable health care.
Okay.
Yeah, and the only thing I wanted to add is that, you know, anytime that there's an opportunity to secure 35 to 45 million people in this country who lack insurance, many of which are receiving these federal tax credits, it's human nature, unfortunately, that there may be some insurance companies using deceptive tactics to sign people up. And I frankly think that's where Congressman Upton ought to be investing his energy, to looking into those types of practices where there's already some anecdotal evidence that that's occurring, not only in Michigan and other states. You should be looking into those kinds of practices rather than trying to, you know, once again, you know, be so critical of this law, which is going to bring about a tremendous benefit to constituents within the Kalamazoo and St. Joe area.
Well, and the point is that it's a benefit to even people who don't need insurance through the exchange, because if more people are insured, we won't be paying for their emergency room coverage with every other time we go to the hospital for an illness where we do have insurance. It'll reduce the operating costs of hospitals because people will be able to pay their own way.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, yeah, I couldn't have said it any better. And remember, the hospitals, the pharmaceutical industry, and the insurance industry, they all endorse the Affordable Care Act because they know that not only are they going to reap more business, but that it's also going to help a lot of people in Michigan, as well as the business community. Because just like individuals will ultimately be paying less in premiums now that they're not subsidizing people without insurance, the same applies to the business community. You know, the cost of providing insurance to their employees ought to go down as more and more people have insurance and therefore able to pay their own way.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Have either of you actually seen somebody who is successfully enrolled and effective January 1st will have health insurance?
I haven't personally met the individuals in Grand Rapids successfully enrolled online, but my staff was at Cherry Street Health Services. We got reports that two people went through the process. You know, their identity was protected because of, you know, HIPAA regulations. But these kind of reports are coming out across the field. Again, as people are working with navigators and the different types of sisters, people are enrolling.
Yeah, okay. Is that your experience too, John?
Well, I was at a town hall meeting the other night with State Senator Morris Hood, and there were a number of navigators there working with different constituents, and they were working through the software and the website program on Monday night. So it is happening around Michigan, and I foresee more and more people signing up as they learn what their options are and they're making intelligent decisions. The one thing we haven't mentioned, Roger, is that one of the great assets of the exchange is that all the health insurance policies that are being offered on the exchange must be written in normal, everyday high school English, and all the policies being offered must be formatted in the same way. And the concept behind it is to really empower consumers and small business to be able to do their research, and as Aaron said earlier, to be able to figure out what makes sense for their budget and for their families. And this is really going to create a competitive marketplace, which is going to provide quality insurance at an affordable price, and it will enable, you know, consumers to make the best decisions for themselves and their family.
Well, and on a personal note, and then I'm going to give each of you one last tell people what you want them to take away from this. But parts of the ACA are already benefiting us. Already we have people who are able to keep their children on their health insurance to age 26. I'm a cancer survivor, and my wife has some conditions that insurance companies don't care for. And a couple of years ago, she felt she might, she was told that due to budget cuts, she might lose her job. We were going to have to move to Costa Rica to get health insurance until we got to age 65 and could qualify for Medicare. Once you've had cancer, try to get health insurance from any insurance company. And that kind of benefit to the ACA is already out there in place helping people.
That's right, Roger. Whether it's cancer or asthma or the fact that, you know, I'm a woman, I'm no longer going to have to pay up to 150% more for my premium because insurance companies consider that a pre-existing condition.
Yeah.
And so, you know, people are not going to have to fear, you know, whether or not they get sick or have an accident and what that's going to do to their premiums or that they're going to be dropped when they need their insurance most.
Well, and over half the bankruptcies in the country are because of medical expense. And we're going to reduce the number of bankruptcies in the country with this as well. Okay, each of you get a chance to tell people the nugget you'd like them to leave our conversation with, starting with Aaron.
Well, I think I would just, in closing, say that, you know, my mantra has been, as I'm talking to people, that this isn't a sprint, it's a marathon. And the marketplace opened up, you know, over a month ago, and we have plenty of time for people to, you know, make an informed decision, shop the plans, see what kind of assistance they qualify for, and then ultimately enroll. And if you're looking for more information, I would encourage people to go to our website at getcoveredamerica.org. We have financial calculators. We have a link that will connect people by zip code to assisters within their community, as well as a calendar to see where we're doing education and enrollment forums.
Great. Okay, John, it's your turn.
Well, I just want to say that, you know, as Aaron was saying, this is a tremendous new law that's really going to help people across the board, people with insurance and people without insurance. And it's not totally unexpected that there are some glitches with the initial rollout of the Affordable Care Act. As people might recall, back in 2003, when George Bush enacted Medicare Part D, you know, paying for prescription drugs for seniors on Medicare, you know, they had their own series of rollout problems. And at that point in time, even though Democrats didn't support the legislation, they worked with Republicans to fix the glitches, to make sure the program properly worked for seniors. And that's what's needed right now. It's time that we stop dumping on the Affordable Care Act, and Republicans and Democrats ought to work together to fix the problems, to make sure that this really, you know, benefits the American people. And I would just encourage Congressman Fred Upton to work with Kathy Sebelius to solve these problems rather than to continue to harp on the problem. Because, again, there's so many people within his district, seniors and young adults and people with pre-existing conditions and small businesses, they're all going to benefit from it. So he should encourage them to learn about it and how they can take advantage of it.
I thank you both for spending your time this afternoon talking with us about the Affordable Care Act and how important it is for us to be patient and work our way through this. Thanks, both of you.
Thanks, Roger.
Well, thank you so much, Roger, for having me on your program.
Thanks, John. You have a good one. Thank you, too, Aaron. 590 WKZO time is 327, 55 degrees. It isn't raining at the moment, but I don't think the rain is over. Bob Larson will be along in just a few minutes with the overnight forecast for you. At 590 WKZO. Cloudy out there, maybe raining where you are, 55 degrees, as Roger and Derek ride along with you on the way home this afternoon. We'll get an updated weather forecast from our good friend Bob Larson right now.
Hi, Roger.
Hi, Bob. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. It's windy here.
It is windy and it's wet.
Yeah, and this is the, I started the show by saying, I posted on Jim McKinney's Facebook page that this is the quintessential Jim McKinney day.
Exactly, we have the wind, we have the rain.
Yeah, it's fall.
Yeah.
Does it get any better than this?
Yeah, it's pretty much a trifecta. Wind, rain, it's about to get colder.
Yeah, yeah. So at least he's happy.
Right.
Well, try to make the rest of us happy.
Right.
Now.
Well, I can tell you the rain's about ready to end. We picked up so far 0.56, a little over a half an inch, and it is winding down. A cold front's pretty much on top of us. In fact, it's already through parts of the area. And some places have already experienced a wind shift into the west and a quick drop in temperature. In other places, it's still upper 50s and raining and a south wind. But the front is pretty much on top of us. And if it's not through where you are right now, folks, it will be certainly during the 4 o'clock hour as the front is moving progressively eastward at a pretty good pace. And you'll know when it comes through because that leads to today's word. The word is abrupt.
Ta-da.
Abrupt change to colder weather with the frontal passage.
The low tonight is what?
32.
Ooh.
Now, what's happening here is that we stand and have been in the mid-50s pretty much for the past several hours, kind of straight lining, holding steady. It's going to go from mid-50s to mid-40s in about in a mere 10, 15 minutes. It'll happen all at once, a 10-degree drop. And then it'll just be a slow, gradual drop winding its way down to 32 overnight. But a very abrupt change with the actual front. And I'm curious to see what your studio temp is right now. We'll know where side of the front's on because that'll pretty much tell the story. There's no in-between with this. It's either mid-50s or mid-40s, depending upon which side of the front you're on.
And we have double nickels.
55.
Yes.
Exactly what it is at the airport. Benton Harbor, it was 55 as late as about a little over an hour ago, 2:15, 2:30, and they now stand at 45.
Ah.
So there's the abrupt change that I'm talking about. Also, the rain is shut down. So with the change to colder, the rain shuts off. It might even be a little clearing overnight as we drop to 32. The thinking here is that there'll be enough time for the roads to become dry before we get down to the 32-degree mark. Certainly any puddles, any standing water, that we're going to be flirting with the freezing mark overnight, so there could be a few icy spots, but the vast majority of the roads and sidewalks will simply become dry before it ever gets to the freezing point.
How long are we going to enjoy cooler weather?
Well, it's going to be cool for the next few days. Highs in the 40s, lows in the 30s. I mentioned yesterday that for tomorrow, Thursday, there'll be a northwest wind coming in right off Lake Michigan. So we're going to have a fair amount of clouds. It could be a brief shower, too, by way of a lake effect shower. And it's cold enough at cloud level to support a snow shower. So might be a rain-snow shower mix, but highs will be in the mid and upper 40s, so there would not be any accumulation. I think we get a little moderation in temperatures Saturday. It's a little bit milder, back above 50, before the next cold front comes through, and it's colder again for Saturday night and Sunday. And to look down the road, There's suggestions that a very cold area high pressure could build into the area next week. By Tuesday, by Wednesday of next week, we could be looking at daytime highs in the lower and middle 30s.
Any snow accompanying that abrupt change?
It doesn't appear to be the case. And interestingly enough, the wind flow that comes in behind that front looks like it's northeasterly, not northwesterly, so it might be hard to generate lake effect.
Ooh, well, for us, maybe they'll get it on the other side
exactly.
of the pond.
Right, that's a very good point.
A backdoor cold front, is that common this time of year?
No, it's not really a backdoor cold front. The front's not coming from the northeast. The wind direction behind the front is northeasterly.
Okay. Oh, okay.
It has to do with the position of the high that builds in behind it.
You know, this is why we need a professional meteorologist to help us with this stuff, Bob.
It's all a matter of interpretation.
Yeah. And you do such a good job at that.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
So in the short term here, the good news is the rain's about to stop. The bad news is it is about to become colder.
It's November. It's Michigan. What were you expecting?
That's true.
Yeah. Have a good one.
You too, Roger.
Thanks, Bob. Bob Larson, AccuWeather meteorologist extraordinaire. And speaking of extraordinary people, joining us now, Jennifer Owens, Vice President of Southwest Michigan First. Jennifer, we got good news today, huh?
We absolutely do have great news. Today, General Mills announced that they are going to be constructing a new distribution facility in Comstock Township in the Midlink Business Park.
And how did this project come together? What drew them to Kalamazoo other than the good work that Southwest Michigan First does? I mean, that's a given, but other than that.
There was a couple of reasons. First of all, our location. So we are halfway situated between Detroit and Chicago. So that really gives them a great customer base to distribute the products to, primarily which are the various lines of yogurts that General Mills manufactures. They also have one of their largest manufacturing plants in Michigan in Reed City. So our somewhat close proximity to Reed City, plus our location right off of major freeways, really put us in a great running for this project. We did compete very closely with Indiana, and it was neck and neck, but we were able to put together a great package and bring this project home to Southwest Michigan.
And how many jobs will this bring, and how quickly will we see those jobs?
About 27 new jobs will be created over a two-year period. They're in the process of, actually today was the first day they broke ground on the facility, which will take roughly 9 months to construct. And it's going to be about 150,000 square foot facility, so pretty sizable.
Mm-hmm.
So likely jobs won't be created until late next year when they start hiring and start staffing up. But I'm certain that many construction jobs are going to be created very shortly as they begin to start the process of constructing the building.
Do you have the feel when working with General Mills that this facility could be expanded in the future? Are they buying enough property to expand, for instance?
Yeah, they absolutely are. You know, they bought enough to double the footprint of the building, so to take it up to 300,000 square feet. And, you know, they're fairly confident given the boom in the yogurt market and, you know, some of the other great General Mills products that this facility could up to double in scale. So we're pretty excited about that plan for growth.
Yeah. It's interesting that we were in the running with Indiana and you guys were able to pull this off. You've had a good year going here, correct?
Yeah. You know, there's been a lot of fantastic projects and really a lot of it speaks to kind of the wide open welcoming nature of our community and our fantastic workforce. I mean, that was a huge factor for General Mills. They had considered us about 5 years ago for an expansion project and weren't able to do it, but they were so blown away by the community welcome, by the quality of the workforce, that they put that in their back pocket. When there was opportunity for growth again, they came back looking at Southwest Michigan and Midlink Business Park. So it's been a great year to do economic development, but we certainly have stiff competition with Indiana, many of our other neighboring states, and we're doing all we can to market Southwest Michigan and continue to grow this economy.
As you work with companies looking to expand or create a new facility, are you seeing more activity? What does your gut tell you about the economy in general? Are we finally coming out of the recession?
Absolutely. You know, our project pipeline has doubled over the last 6 months in terms of companies looking at our region. Some of the major changes in our tax policy in Michigan, the right to work change, all of those different items have really put us kind of on the top of the radar screen for new opportunities. And so there are, I'm at least once a week, I'm out taking companies around, most of which are not here currently looking at vacant sites and also buildings. In addition to that, our existing companies as well, many of them are expanding their footprint and growing. So we see, you know, a really big boom in hiring and investment, which is a great thing for our region.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the way we have to look at it. We can't have a petty parochial perspective. Battle Creek is not our competition. We have to look at it as if we're a part of Southwest Michigan. And I think that's one of the things that most impresses me about your organization.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely about regionalism. So, you know, companies don't care about township, city, county lines. They care about the workforce. They care about the quality of the business climate. So if we go in just marketing a city or a county or a region, we're going to lose at the beginning. So the more we can collaborate with Battle Creek Unlimited, Cornerstone Alliance, and, you know, the cities and communities in Southwest Michigan, the better our business case is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I appreciate your taking the time to chat with us this afternoon and share the good news that General Mills is going to bring a facility here and hire approaching 30 people sometime next year. I'm guessing there's people here in Kalamazoo who'd like a job.
I'm sure there is.
Yeah.
And I would encourage them to go to the Michigan Talent Bank, to MichiganWorks.org, because a lot of those positions will be posted on the Michigan Works site when they're up and running. And I really thank you for giving me the time.
Thanks, Jennifer. Always good talking with you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Jennifer Owens, Vice President of Southwest Michigan First, and they've got another feather in their cap. Rubbermaid Newell not too long ago, and now General Mills putting a facility in Kalamazoo. Maybe there is light at the end of the tunnel. Still 55 in Kalamazoo. We'll know when the cold weather gets here, according to Bob Larson. CBS News in just 2 minutes. Following CBS News, we're going to talk with Josh Israel. He is a reporter for Think Progress, and he covered the Virginia gubernatorial election last night that Terry McAuliffe won. And I'm thinking, in my mind, there are some parallels between Virginia and Michigan, both sort of states that elect conservative government governors and legislators and then turn around and go blue, not Michigan, but go blue for Democrats when it comes to electing president. Last night, they broke with tradition and elected a Democrat. Let's find out from somebody who's been there if there are the parallels that I see. Coming up in just a few minutes. Between now and then, I told you earlier in the week that I saw Ender's Game, and I'm a science fiction geek, I know, but I enjoyed the movie. And so caller number 5 right now, who calls Derek, gets a pair of tickets to go see Ender's Game. It's in IMAX at the Celebration Cinema, adjacent to Crossroads Mall. And your admission will be free for a pair of tickets. 382-4280-877-382-4280. CBS News is next.
The Trifecta continues after CBS News and Kalamazoo's news from the WKZO.com newsroom on 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.